Turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And we'll probably be around start 15. As I was preparing for this message and looking over it, I began to realize something, that we love Jesus. The church does. And we talk about loving Jesus. And He's a hero of our faith, right? Or He better be. But sometimes with heroes and people that have went before us, we kind of look at them in a different light. We kind of put them in our own. We want them to fit into who we are and the way we want them to be. And we kind of change some things of how Jesus is and how He should be. When I was reading this, I go back into the Gospels. Usually when I prepare a message, wherever I'm preaching from, I'll read the chapter before and the chapter after to see. And I realized something in the Gospels. If Jesus was to come back today and start preaching in America, I don't know if anybody would want Him to preach. Because He wouldn't fit some of the molds that we've made for Him. I mean, we talk about the loaves and the fishes and the healings and all that, but when it comes to the preaching and the teaching and the truths, whoa, they're not in the middle of the road. They're not politically correct. They're not so easy to take. He says stuff like heaven and hell, saved and lost. In or out. You're either His or you're the devil's. And man, we don't like it, but it's there. And today, as I come, first of all, I've got this overriding sense that I'm preaching a funeral today. I want you to hear this when I say it. I preached funerals, but I've never preached a funeral of the person who's in the casket. They do that. You do that. You usually preach to the people that are there. One, to honor the person. Next, to honor God by the truth. So I took a message today from the greatest preacher that ever walked. His name's Jesus. And I'm going to preach it like He preached it. And if you've got an issue with that, we'll have an altar call at the end of this service. And you can come up here and do business with Him. And when I mean business, I mean you can ask Him to forgive you of your sins and trespasses and be the Lord of your life. Or you can do something else with it. You can walk out of here and be mad at me, this church, and ultimately God. And that still might work in your favor. Because I've been mad at God before, and it didn't work out for me. Amen. Ready? I think I've talked enough. Let's get in the Word. I'm just going to be preaching straight to you today. No sugarcoating, okay? No, it might not be too fun, but we'll get some results, Lord willing. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. I think this guy did what we like to do sometimes. We like to make things light when they're heavy. Sometimes when God's really dealing with people, sometimes we'll turn out of it instead of turn into it. When God's really moving, sometimes we'll try to move on to the next song where we can get our program right. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a program preacher. I'm not a program church. I'm a guy who says, if God's in it, let's stay there. And if God's not in it, let's move until we find Him. This guy had just got some hard news. Jesus was saying, stop inviting all the good people to your religious ceremonies and religious dinners. Invite some people who could never pay you back. There's nothing wrong with going out and eating with friends.
good time. But when it comes to the ministry, don't always try to climb the ladder of success and help those that can help you. Bless those that can bless you back. What God says is look for some people to bless that might not ever bless you back. And you'll get blessings that are amazing. You'll get blessings that you'll never even know about until you do stuff like that. But this guy made some light stuff. He's like, can I preach the light? He says it in such a spiritual way. It's got a little in it. Man, it's... sounded good, didn't it? But boy, Jesus didn't even flinch at this proclamation on teaching. And I want you to know this, if you don't have a Bible that's red letter, everything I'm going to go on after this is red letter, so it's Jesus talking, not me, okay? So I want you to hear this. Verse 16, then said he unto them, a certain man had a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I want you to hear this. God sends His servant. His servant is the Spirit of God. His Spirit is in the indwelling of the New Testament church today. I'll say it again really slow where you can get it. God sends His servant. His servant is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in the New Testament church today. It resides in us as believers. We say this, but we don't mean it a whole lot. The church is not a building. It's a building of people. We are the small stones that are joined to the cornerstone and the foundation, which is Christ. Through His Spirit, He gave us upon the day of resurrection and the day of Pentecost, He baptized us with the Holy Spirit. He gave the Holy Spirit to the church that we can carry out what the servant's supposed to do. And don't panic that I say day of Pentecost. It's in the Bible. Amen? Say that and people look at you like he's about to say something spiritual. I want you to hear this. He said, go and tell them it's supper time. Everything's ready. I hate to tell you this, but if you're waiting for a time that God's going to make everything ready, I hate to tell you it's already ready. And it's ready for you today. I'm telling you today, God's begging you to come into the kingdom of heaven. Stop pretending. Stop putting on. Stop acting like you're a Christian. Stop thinking because you come to church, that's enough. It's not enough. Amen? He's bidding everyone to come in. He said, go and tell them, come, all things are now ready. Listen, I know it's hard sometimes to see how you'd be as a Christian and how God can take care of you. Forget about that for a little bit and just think about this. God takes care of everything. I'll show you what I mean. Verse 18, he goes to a group probably just like this group. With one consent began to make excuses. The first said, some ground that I must needs go and see. They have me excused. That's a good excuse, right? Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I have to prove them. I pray thee that you excuse me. Another excuse. Another said, I've married a wife and therefore can't come. Probably one of the best excuses. Amen. But can I debunk these 3 excuses in 2? Amen. In yours too? The first one speaks to security and a sense of home. Everybody in here, you know, if I say, are you going home after church? You're going to that place that you have made for yourself, that you have provided for yourself, that's a place of security, a place of shelter, a place of warmth, a home, a place that you can rest. Is that correct? Yes, it's correct. And it sounds good when you say it, and nobody in here would say you're wrong for having a home or buying some land and building one. But if that security in that home overrides Christ and it's more important than Jesus and more important than your salvation, then you have bought into something that is temporary and it will fail you in the end. The land that you live on and the home that you dwell in will belong to someone else eventually. Your security can be invaded in a moment's time. In a moment's notice, your whole world could come to an end or be turned upside down in your secure place. There is only really one secure place, and that is in Christ Jesus. There is only one home, and that place is heaven. There's only one place that you need to set your heart to for eternity. This is a place that we dwell for temporary. This is a tent place. That is a building place. This is the place that we are passing through to get to our eternal or long home. Don't miss heaven for your temporary space down here below. Homes are important. Don't get me wrong. I love my home. But I'll guarantee you this. I don't love my home as much as I love my heavenly home. It's more important to me than anything I've ever owned. Amen. And it better be to you. You know, the other excuse was, I bought some oxen. We read this Old Testament, we really read this Testament stuff, and we read the Bible, we're like, I don't even care about oxen. But you do care about work. You do care about work. I could be real poignant right here and show you some points about work. Some of you say, I don't go to church because there are a bunch of hypocrites down there. Yeah, but you'll show up to work every day. They don't treat me right. They don't treat me right at the church. Yeah, they ain't treated you right on your job for 25 years, but you're still going. Amen? I know, don't be mad at me. I'm just being real with you. Y'all want me to keep it real sometimes, right? I don't like the way that person does. Yeah, but you sat by them or worked by them or shared a workspace with them for 20 or 30 years, but you can't come to church and sit in the same room with somebody because you're offended or hurt. Ooh. Maybe because this is the place you give money and that's the place where you get money. Never mind. Oh man, I knew the preacher would eventually come around and start preaching about money. I knew it was going to happen. Listen, I don't want your money. I don't need your money. What God wants to say, can I trust you with what I've given you? You ever heard the statement, time is money? Listen, when you give God your tithe and your offering, what you're saying is, God, thank you for allowing me to go to work. You're not coming in here and doing something. Matter of fact, when you offer it or when you tithe it, you give it away and you don't even have any responsibility to it anymore and you shouldn't. Oh, never mind. Preacher, don't preach on money. You won't have a big crowd. I'm not in it for the crowd. I'm in it for the truth. Amen? Sorry, I lost control for a moment. Provision. We trust and trust and trust in our work. We trust in our ability to earn. We trust in our ability to go and provide for our families until we can't. There's going to be a day when you can't. There will be a day when you come to the end of your working ability, your health ability, and then guess who's going to be providing for you? If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, it'll be for Him. He will provide all things. He is the God of provision. He is the one who does the work for you. Somebody says, I love this. Oh, you don't know me, brother. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have had any bootstraps. God's good. And sometimes we give Him lame excuses of why we can't participate in the kingdom of heaven. So, because some of y'all think right now I'm giving you some excuses why you don't come to church. I really don't care about coming to church because I know if you go to the kingdom and the kingdom gets in, you'll go to the right church. You'll want to be around church. You'll want to get fed. You'll want to encourage others. Amen? I'm trying to get you into the kingdom, not the building, but the kingdom. If I can get you in the kingdom, I know you can get in the right building, hopefully. God does that work. Stop trusting in yourself. Because if you're only trusting in yourself, eventually you'll find out your trust in yourself is going to fail you. Some of you already found that out. I found it out early. Relationships, man, the best one ever. Man, I've got me a wife, and I can't make it to church. I've got a new relationship, and some of you give more credence and more love and more attention to your relationships than you do the relationship between you and Jesus, and that's why your relationships fall apart and are miserable. If you'll put everything into the relationship will work, and the ones that are supposed to fall apart will fall apart. Can I go ahead and just preach a little bit closer to the real here? Reach right here. I want to live my life, and you should want to live your life in such a way at the end of it, whether people loved you or whether they hated you, they would still be able to say the same thing. They were in a great relationship with this Jesus they kept speaking about. You might lose a girlfriend, or you might lose a boyfriend, or you might lose some friends. You might lose a wife. You might lose a husband. You might lose some of your family if you get in a relationship with Jesus. But I tell you this, He will fulfill you and consistently fulfill you for the rest of your life if you trust Him. So, for God, could give up anything for God, it'd be great. But ever since I've been saved, every relationship I've had that's through Christ Jesus is one that I'd never give up. Amen? And some that fell apart, some that felt, golly, we can't really preach in here. We're supposed to love everybody, and everybody's supposed to be involved in our lives. Listen, some of the best that can happen to you is somebody say, I'm leaving. Amen? I'm out of here. Please come back. No, thank you. Pray for them, love them, and let them go, and let God keep working in your life and theirs. Ooh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that's just real. That's just as real as rain. Sometimes the best thing ever happened to you is somebody to walk out. Amen? Makes you focus on God just a little bit more, a little bit better. Never. Is it? This is... Oh, friend, I better remind you this, because some of y'all are looking right at me and giving me that look. This is red letter, ain't me. I didn't say this, Jesus said it. It's red letter stuff. This is Jesus teaching this message. I want you to hear it. Listen to this, what He says. 21, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, what? Wait a minute. Who's the master of the house? You can say it. It's God. Did it say God's angry? No, we don't want to preach that in a modern church today, because God's a loving God and He's a forgiving God. And you, this judgmental God, it says it. I didn't make it up. And Jesus said, He said He's angry. He said, the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. That's what he said. Check this out. I want you to hear this, because some of y'all, as soon as I say God was angry, you go, oh, what's God going to do to me now? Listen, you might want to, and you might want to tell this to somebody. You better thank God if God's still doing something to you.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You didn't get what I just said. If God's still chastising you or burdening you or bringing you to a place of conviction and you're angry with God because He's dealing with you, listen, you should raise your little paw and say, thank you. Amen. Because what this Bible says right here, and you don't really understand this right now, but you're about to. It says when God really gets angry with you, He shifts His attention from you. Some of you are sitting there saying, thank God I come to church and I don't feel no conviction. Thank God I'm not bothered by what that man says. I'm not worried about the service. I didn't care about the song. And guess what? It seems like some of those people that are coming to the church that are the most broken and the most humble and the poorest and the weakest and the sickest and the lamest, they're getting help. Praise God, I did. didn't need it. The truth is, if God is angry with you, He can stop dealing with you. And that's the scariest thing I've ever said. Because if God is angry, because, and you say, why would God be angry? Because He knows what it cost for you to come to the supper. No, I want you to say, He knows what it cost for the invite. Do you know if somebody invites you to their house for a dinner, they took on all the cost. Come to our house to eat. Okay, we'll come. We'd love to come. And you talk about going, and you go, and you walk in, and they provided the comfort. They provided the chairs and the table and the food, and it sacrificed them to have you over. When Jesus says, come, what He's saying is, I paid for you to come. And what I paid was my Son shed His blood upon Calvary's cross that you may come and enter into my heaven, my table, my bride's supper. I'm asking you to come in. And when you say, God, I got an excuse. Please excuse me. He says, you make me mad because I didn't give you any excuses when I went to the cross. I didn't give you one excuse. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I don't feel like it. I need to go back to heaven. Oh, I would love to go back to glory. Instead, He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but if not Thine will, Lord, I will drink it all. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. And at the end, He says, it is finished. What's finished? Your invitation to the kingdom is finished. God gets angry and He doesn't do what you think He does. He gets angry and He shifts to another group of people. The people you feel sorry for because they're not as blessed as you are. They're even more blessed because all these people that we listed here, the poor, the maimed, the alt, and the blind. You know why He goes to them? They have no excuses. They have nothing to hold them back. The poor. You know, we live in one of the oldest, poorest regions in the whole United States of America at one time. Do you know that? It's called the South. We live in the South. And at one point, we were poor, ignorant people. But there are more churches and more faith-based things that go on in the South than anywhere else in the country. Can I go a little deeper? Because I might get some ruffles feathers right here. Do you know who one of the biggest bases of those faith were at one point? Black people. But weren't they slaves? Yeah. They didn't have nothing. And they still trusted on Jesus. We better stay off that subject up here, right? Listen, I ain't going to stay away from any subject up here. You can forget that. The poorer you are, the less you have, the quicker you are to receive something that's good. When you see Jesus for who He is and you don't have anything to compare it to, you look at it and you go, what, are you kidding me? I'll trade my garbage life for Jesus like that. Potent means sick. Sick and you can't get well. And you'll never be sick again. Spiritual people at the hospital that are sick or dying. You walk in there and you say, can I pray? Yes! Yes! And they ain't afraid of physical contact. They stick their hand out and they say, touch me, pray for me. They come to the church and say, don't touch me. Avoid the preacher. Run away. Go that way. Right? Man, when it's down to some surgery, yeah. Am I going to be unconscious and could I die? Yep, not so simple for you. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. The alt, the blind. Man, when you're in darkness, and you can't see. I wish, the only thing I wish Bob would have sung a little fanny made Crosby some. This morning would have tied in good now I think about it. Oh, Savior, don't pass me by. Right? Fannie Mae Crosby wrote that song about when she got saved. If you don't know, Fannie Mae Crosby's blind. Sitting in a service, and God was saving people. God was moving and saving people, and Fannie Mae Crosby, who's blind, couldn't see it but could feel it. Said, oh, gentle Savior, don't pass me by. I can see you. I can't see you, but I can feel you. And just because I can't see doesn't mean that I can't be saved. If you would, have mercy on somebody sitting in darkness. Have you ever been sitting in darkness and needed the light to come by? Well, He's coming by. It gets better because, listen to this next part. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you've done a lot of bad things in your life, but listen to this. And the servant said to the Lord, I love this. It is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is heavens. There's going to be so much room in heaven. There's a book of life that will be opened up at the end of this at judgment time. The book of life will be opened. And somebody said, wonder why the book of life will be open when the people that are judged in the great white throne judgment, why will it be there? Because their names wouldn't be written there. I wonder if God's going to show them where. There was plenty of room for their name to be written down. And every time like this day, when God came along and gave you a gospel message and said, I would like to save you, I would like to forgive you of your sins, and I'd like to set you free, and you gave Him an excuse, I wonder if it's a book of where the excuses would fit in. I wanted to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but instead, I made notes of all the excuses that you gave. I'm too young now. I'm too busy. Oh, I've got so many relationships I'm in. Oh, God, I don't know if you can provide like I've provided, my family provided. Oh, God, I don't know if I'm ready or not. A lot of those. But listen, I love this. There's room in heaven for you, by the way, this morning. There's room for you. So stop using the excuse that God don't want somebody like you. God saved a lot worse than you and a lot better, by the way. Whew. I don't know if I said that part, last part right. A lot better than me and a lot worse than me. So stop giving Him any of your excuses of how bad you were or how good you are. God meets you everywhere. But listen to this last part and I'm going to close. I'll ask Miss Betsy if she will come and Bob get to the piano as I reach this last point. I want you to hear it. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Listen to what I'm telling you right here. You got the sick, the lame, the blind, the alt, right? And listen, we don't understand this highways and hedges, but when I say it the way it's said today, you'll get it. He said, go out into the mean streets of America. Go out into the inner cities. Go out and get the worst of the worst of the worst. Amen? Go get the gangbangers, the drug addicts, the drug dealers, the people that nobody else wants, the prostitutes. And guess what? I hate to tell you this. There are ministers and ministries going into those places right now, and they are winning people to the Lord. There are more people that are hurting through addiction and pain that are coming to the Lord than your local church. I want you to hear that. So when you watch the news, you go, man, poor people. Guess what? A lot of them are coming to faith in Jesus Christ because you know what? God said the good people wouldn't come in. Write this down if you want to. The religious right wouldn't come in. The religious ones that thought they were okay because they went to church and they did a ceremony ever so often. They're not even going to taste my supper. But I went into the mean streets and got them. Now listen, now every one of you right now are going like this. I don't live in the mean streets. I live on Flat Top Mountain or in Soddy Daisy or Dunlap or Sell Creek. Listen to this part. The hedges make up the country roads. The byways. Them old roughnecks. That old neighbor of yours that you think, yeah, glad I'm not that guy. He's got it rough. Man, I think he might be on meth. I believe he's beating on his wife. I believe they're having, yeah, guess what? That guy right there, the guy in the hedges, he'll get it before we do. Because you know what? God's going after them now. Because too many times in the church, the ones that know how to dress, know how to act, know how to look good, we come to this church, we come to many churches like this, and we put on our very best, and for an hour or two, we can make it through a service. One day, you're going to stand before God. He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I invited you, but you gave me excuse after excuse after excuse. And you're going to see some people who are entering the kingdom of heaven, or you'll know they enter the kingdom of heaven because they'll be gone when the church is raptured out, and you'll say, I can't believe that person made it. She was a prostitute. She was on drugs. He was a liar. He was a thief. He was a heroin addict. But guess what? He is in glory because he gave up all the excuses and got a hold of God. You say, preacher, you're talking about like it's over for us. You're talking like it's God's reaching out there for them and not in here for us. You're sadly mistaken. Because I'm here preaching this message this morning. Will you be saved this morning? Will you stop giving excuses before He moves on to somebody else instead of you? This church is really comfortable and really beautiful, and we're doing some great things. But the greatest thing we have to do and the greatest thing we have to offer is the kingdom of glory. Are you going to be a part of it as we stand this morning? There's already playing, so if you want to come, come. Altars are open. If you've faked it, if